The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele in studio. Steve Geller will join us at 5:45 for our triple option feature. In the 4 o'clock hour, we have on with us Kelsey Nicole Nelson, who covers the Commanders beat also for the Ravens. And she's got the podcast Listen In with KNN. Going to tell us about Marshawn Lattimore. You would figure he gets healthy, and he was a full participant today in practice. I kind of figured that was going to happen with Marshawn, but Kelsey will give us some insight and certainly talk about just the impact that Jaden Daniels has had in the area. 440, Blake Ruffino about LSU. And, man, every time if you look on X or Facebook or whatever, they got something happening in the transfer portal. We'll get his thoughts on the comings and goings, who's going to be in this weekend to visit LSU. But the big story today certainly is what potentially could be happening out in North Carolina as Bill Belichick and his attorneys are talking seriously and to the North Carolina Tar Heels about being the next head coach there. I'll be honest with you, that's shocking to me that Bill Belichick would want to coach in college football. I know he wanted to get back in coaching, but he wanted to really get back in the NFL. And I think his attorneys have sort of looked around, agents looked around and said, man, you're not going to get in. Nobody's going to give you that shot. So he's going to take over if they can finalize all the details. And I just texted a friend of mine, Chris Lowe, who we've had on from ESPN, and he said it looks as though it's closing in on a deal. So if something happens in the 4 to 6 o'clock time frame, we'll let you know. But that's surprising to me. 72-year-old Bill Belichick could be a coach at the college level. I want to see how he handles NIL, recruiting, all of that stuff. He was not a good draft picker at all, and he had control. But you the king when you the head coach at a college team. You king, and Bill likes that part.
Is that final, Mike?
No, it's not final.
It's getting
but
there, though.
It looks as though it's getting there. The crazy thing is, you know, when they released Mac Brown, who's 73, the athletic director said, we're going to go with a little younger coach. He sure was right. Bill Belichick is 72.
That's younger. You can't argue with
so,
that.
I can't go with the details with that on that part, but that's absolutely crazy. Also, too, Darian Mensah, former quarterback at Tulane, has committed, and he will go to Duke University. So Darian Mensah leaves Tulane to go to Duke.
Woo,
and how about that?
They play each other next year, too.
Yeah, sure do. Sure do. Let's go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Let's go to Greg the Fireman. Greg, you're in the huddle with Mike and Cullen.
Mike, how are you today?
I'm good, buddy. How you been?
I'm doing good. I got a quick question for you. Since Tulane lost all those quarterbacks and Walker Howard now is in the portal, you know, we were thinking maybe he might go to the Raging Cajuns, but do you think Tulane might take a shot at him? Does that sound like a good fit or no?
he, from all indications, has verbally committed, and he will go to University of Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns. From St. Thomas More Catholic in the Lafayette area. And he's bounced around, LSU, Ole Miss. So from every indication, until everything's done, you really don't know. But it looks as though he has given the Raging Cajuns a verbal commitment, and he'll play for University of Louisiana. Also, his dad, man, I covered his dad at LSU, Jamie Howard. He came to a couple of our Manning Passing Academies, passing sessions, Walker did it with LSU and with Ole Miss. So good luck to him. But it looks as though, Greg, he's going to end up at University of Louisiana. So thanks for the call, bud. I do appreciate it. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy, you're in the huddle with Mike and Cullen.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, look, I feel like that's kind of a lateral move. And I was impressed with Mensah. I told you that. He's a freshman. He's done really well. But let me look, with the 12-team playoffs, it gives teams, you see SMU and Boise State, they're in the mix, right? And, I mean, Tulane played SMU last year in the American Conference title game. Yeah, I think Duke has a more difficult path in football than Tulane does to get annually to this playoff system. Because every year you got to assume you're going to have one or two teams on the back end of the playoffs, the 12 teams like Boise State and SMU this year. And I think Tulane has a better if it's not a lateral move, it's a move downward, because, you know, had he stayed with Tulane, you know, you make the playoffs in a year or two, you get more visibility, more notoriety, and it improves your draft stock. I just don't get that.
I don't get it either, Jimmy. And my thing is, sometimes you have people in your ear. Okay, you 18, 19 years old, and, you know, you have a lawyer, or I guess that's what they call him today, not an agent, but a lawyer, and he's in your ear. I can get you a really good deal. Now, the one thing about Duke, and this is becoming a money situation now, and Bobby asked me to do this, and we're going to do this probably next Monday, of billionaires in the Forbes 500, and who has the most from each school? Duke has three.
Really?
And from $500 million to $900 million, they got eight. So they got some money rolling in at Duke. They got some people there with some cash, Jimmy. Again, you would think that is a lateral move. But I think for me, you know, once you get in somebody's ear and convince them that you're going to go somewhere, and, you know, normally agents in the NFL, they get 2.5-3%. Some of these guys doing this now, they're going to get 20-25% out of the player. That's a pretty good little chunk of change they can do for you. So it is what it is. But, Jimmy, I'm going to tip my cap to you, because a couple weeks back you told me watch for Charles Huff to be the head coach at USM. And sure enough, he left Marshall. And I got a call from Pete Jenkins this morning. He was like, Mike Marshall must be cheap. They lost him to USM? It's like, that's what it is, coach. That's the way the world is. But, Jimmy, I give you credit. You're the first one to make that call on Charlie Huff going from Marshall to USM. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettillo along with Cullen Steele. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, Miss Kelsey Nicole Nelson. She covers the Ravens and also the Commanders. She's recently the Sports Media Person of the Year in the D.C. area. And you can hear Kelsey on Listen In with KNN. Kelsey, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be back with you all.
Kelsey, right off the bat, I'll ask you, before we get into Jaden Daniels' talk, you would figure Marshawn Lattimore has not played one game since the Saints traded him to the Commanders. I think just started practicing a little over a week ago. He's a full participant in practice this week. You would figure as Marshawn is going to come back to the Dome and get to play against the Saints in his first game since being traded.
oh, it's only right, Mike, right, that this is when he begins to get healthy. It's the perfect storyline, you know, heading into this game. And honestly, it's one everyone in Washington is talking about. You know, we've had a lot of conversation about Washington secondary as we're talking about potentially this being a wild card team, Mike, you know, and a team that could potentially, right, look to the postseason. And so I think with him being able to enter, like you said, a full participant in practice, and remember the Commanders recently releasing their 2023 first rounder, Emmanuel Forbes, who honestly was a very controversial figure here in Washington. Some fans loved him, some fans not so much. I think Dan Quinn and coaching staff just feeling like they haven't seen enough. I think a lot of eyes are on this quarterback's crew. So I know there's probably in New Orleans, y'all probably feel the type of way, but, you know, I think him being able to be added to the squad is great because, honestly, there are some big key injuries for Washington that they'll have to fill in for. So I absolutely love this going into it, and I truly hope that he's able to play in this game.
Kelsey, if he's well, he's hell on the field because he's the best cornerback in the history of the Saints. And I'm not kidding you. He is the very best they've ever had. Now, he's the last couple years, he's had a lot of injuries here and there, but when he's focused and he's healthy, there's not a lot of them that you could call the roll before you call his name. He is a really good football player. Kelsey, in covering the Commanders, what's the biggest surprise for you this season with the Washington team? We'll get into Jaden a little bit later, but other than Jaden, what is the biggest surprise on this football team?
Yeah, I love you clarified that because, right, you know, I've been telling everybody about Jaden, and I can't wait to talk about him. But honestly, I think the start that they got off to, you know, no one thought that this team would start 7-2. And honestly, being one of the hottest teams in the National Football League when the season first started, especially on offensive sides, Mike, at one time they were third in scoring, total yards, rushing yards, fifth in carries. Like, who had the Commanders being able to do that? So I think the Commanders being able, again, to get up to a hot, strong start honestly really put the NFL on notice. It got fans back believing. The stadium is back full again now at Northwest Stadium. And again, fans are truly believing. I haven't seen this much Commanders gear being worn, Mike, in a long while since this team changed name. But again, this is a team that truly Washingtonians, folks that moved here, like everyone's truly proud of this team. So I think the fast start that they got off to, but especially that it was because of their offense. Because remember, prior to Jaden Daniels, a lot of the talk about the Commanders was their defense, right, and what they were able to do on defense because there were so many questions on offense. I think that's been something that really has fans here feeling like they're really starting to believe that this team has a heartbeat and an identity on both sides of the football.
Okay, we'll get to Jaden, and I told you this when they selected him. You're going to like this guy. I mean, he sort of tilts the field as a player, and he's so humble. If you met him on the street and didn't know him, you would think he's a regular guy. And just to talk to him, the way he handles success, Kelsey, and a lot of times people don't handle success well. He does. And he puts in so much work. And I remember Coach Kelly telling me, you know, one time he pulls up to the LSU facilities at 5 o'clock in the morning. Jaden's already there. He's already been watching film or working out. The impact, you just brought it up about, kind of he's the jumper cables on the battery for that Commander football team and the area. But that, to me, is unreal because sort of growing up, the Redskins, they were really good. Joe Gibbs, you know, to win three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks, unbelievable. But Jaden has given that team some oomph that they didn't have.
You are exactly right. And we're seeing more and more alumni work their way back to Washington. To not just see this team on paper, they want to see it in person, Mike. And again, this is what he's kind of helped to install. And just going to back to Jaden off the football field, you know, again, something that Commanders fans are really talking about during this holiday season. They shouted him out for hosting his first toy drive back home in California. Again, it's just the good of his heart. He also was recently part of visiting Children's National Hospital here in Washington, D.C. So really trying to learn the community. At a recent Wizards game, I mean, a standing applause for Jaden. Honestly, it was the loudest fans back because you guys know the Wizards record. So Wizards fans have to have something to be excited about. And it was Jaden Daniels being in the arena that got folks really excited. But then, like you said, I think why people like Jaden is because he gets done what needs to get done. And even on the football field, you know, his leadership, I think, you know, in the last game, the blowout one against the Titans, you know, whatever he had to do, the short yards, the chucking the football, like he just helped this team propel. I think the biggest thing, too, this team has went through adversity, Mike. Let's be real, right? Losing three of their last four games, people starting to be like, oh, was this just a moment and not a movement for the Commanders in the right direction? And we're starting to see him, again, get this team back on track, not unwavering faith. And even just how he responds to the media, to be honest with you, you know, even during that losing period, just always respectful, just always on a high, always optimistic about where this team could go. But you are absolutely right. Me and you talked about Jaden. And again, to all those fans, Mike, who kept trying to convince me that Drake May was the right guy, I'm looking at them side-eye, Mike, because I tried to tell them Jaden Daniels was the only answer for Washington.
Yeah, and just his personality. And I thought the coolest thing, he throws up the Hail Mary against Chicago.
Mm.
And it connects. And he just turns around, no celebration, and he's walking away. And then his teammates jumping all over him. It was like, okay, I did this before. I've been there, done this. That was, to me, the coolest moment, because if you wheel back that tape, he just turned around after he saw the catch and saw everybody go crazy. He just turns around, just starts walking. And I'm like,
oh,
whoa,
yeah.
How many guys would do that? And then the teammates mobbed him after that. So, that's a signature moment. That's when you know, hey, I think we got the right guy here if that kind of luck can happen to us.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, when everybody had given up hope in that stadium, right? Like you said, he does it. And he's almost like Jaden Cool, right? Like you said, he walks off the field. Everybody's celebrating. You know, fans are going crazy over Noah Brown, who, of course, lots of fans are very sad about him being injured and not being able to play in this game and maybe being out for the season. But going back to Jaden Daniels, I think that's what it is, his leadership. And again, just how he also lets the guys have their moment, right? He doesn't try to make it about him. And I'll tell you another reason why people like Jaden here, they love his mom, too. His mom is beloved here. I don't know if you guys know about Washington, but all the star players here, they're close with their moms. Like when John Wall was here, him and his mom were a common occurrence when he was playing with the Washington Wizards, and now Jaden is his mom. And so, you know, she gets lots of love at the games. We love mama's boys here in D.C., Mike. It's just a thing here. But again, also I think just that closeness. And him just being focused. Like, Jaden is a guy you don't hear crazy things, you know, off on the sidelines. You know, for those that experience D.C. nightlife, he is not one that you see out and about, right? Again, just focused on football. I think that's what fans really want. They want the team, like, putting their all in, putting 150% in. Again, I think that's why this team is now starting to get respected after, for a while, honestly, being, like, the laughing stock of the league with all that was going on. So I think Jaden Daniels has honestly helped to restore balance here in Washington, at least in terms of sports, right? Politics is still a crazy thing in D.C., but at least in terms of sports, it feels more balanced with Jaden Daniels at the helm.
Well, you got rid of the nutty owner, and that was a big part of why things, I think, started to change. I'll tell you this story. Pete Jenkins, he was defensive line coach at LSU a year ago, and Jaden put on a performance against Florida in Tiger Stadium. Listen, I'm in my 60s. I've never seen a guy that good in one game. He was unbelievable against the Gators that night. So, and they were trading touchdown for touchdown. And so he just runs 70 yards for a touchdown. He comes off the field, and Pete Jenkins, all of 82 years old back then, he runs on the field and he hugs him and he said, "Jaden, I love you. I love you. But you scored too damn fast. Now I got to put my defense back out on the field." He told him, he said, "Coach Pete, don't worry about it. If they score, I'm going to score." It was like, he said, "Mike, I've never had a guy tell me that." You know, just as calm as could be. "Hey, they score, I'll get you another touchdown, coach. Don't worry about it." But that's that's Jaden, all in a nutshell. You brought up about Noah Brown. Looks as though he may miss the entire season. So Luke McCaffrey comes in. He's going to be the guy. Now, Terry McLaurin, he's had a fantastic year for the Commanders. But Luke comes in. Man, I scouted his dad coming out of college, and certainly his brother Christian. Give us a little bit about Luke. He's a former high school quarterback, started at Nebraska, and then transfers to Rice, where he becomes a receiver. Really good athlete and a big target receiver.
Yeah, so again, a lot of fans sad about Noah Brown being out, because I don't think folks realize how much – he was able to contribute to this offense. And I know there has been some folks who talk about a couple of significant drops, but all in all, this was someone who made that offense move, someone who was able to connect with Jaden Daniels. And so as the Commanders, again, look to this last stretch of the season, and a season, honestly, where they're playing defenses, where they can open their pass games, Mike, this is big for Washington, again, to get other guys involved, because we know folks are going to guard Scary Terry because he is that good. And again, making sure that the league knows he's that good. Coming off a terrific game against the Titans, but as you talked about, so everyone's looking at De'Ami Brown and Luke McCaffrey now to really have to be able to increase their production. I think, of course, we see De'Ami Brown have a little bit more success than Luke McCaffrey thus far this season, because anytime you say the last word Brown, everyone knew you were talking about Noah again, because in terms of production, Noah Brown was that guy. But, you know, I think for Luke, there was big hopes and expectation when he came here to Washington. And remember, the key was getting pieces around Jaden Daniels. There is belief and him, and, you know, there's been a next man up mentality here in Washington. And, you know, De'Ami Brown said it best this week at practice. He said the opportunity has presented itself. It's time to take advantage. And so I think that's what they're looking for. You know, I think you know Terry can open the deep ball. I think look for them to use Luke in unique ways. But this is, I think, a big moment for him as the Commanders are, again, trying to find out who can be that guy. So I'm excited for him, Mike. I just hope he steps up to the moment again. He's got big shoes to fill with Noah being out. I mean, Noah, again, really helped that offensive production, you know, at 28 years old, just get moving. He was such a huge pickup for Washington. And when you look at how many targets he had, 56 targets for Noah Brown and 11 games for Jaden Daniels, right? So, again, there was a connection being established. But I do think that Luke can step up to the call. And this is what fans have honestly been waiting for, like a little breakout from him.
Well, the one thing with Luke, I don't know how productive he'll be, but he can handle the NFL moment. I mean, you just look at that pedigree, and he's as cool as could be. You know, he went to the Senior Bowl, and, hey, I can handle this. It's no big deal. But, you know, when your dad played and your brothers played and, you know, your mom was a great athlete, your grandfather ran in the 1960 Olympics as a sprinter, you got some genetics there, K&N.
Yeah.
You got some big-time genetics rolling in him.
He comes from a good crop. And I think you said it best. Like, no one's expecting Luke McCaffrey to be the top player of the game. No. And just, again, when it's needed, when Washington is potentially in that third down situation, you know, can he be the guy? This is a team, like, coming off of a bye week, right? A restful team. And, again, I think it's just for him, Commanders truly are that team. Again, if they want to look at the postseason, they just need everyone to step up. So, again, I think folks are excited. Like you said, that last name, McCaffrey, already makes people watch and tune in. And, you know, he's going to make his own legacy. I know he comes from a very storied family, but this is his chance, I think, to kind of begin it. You know, because, again, we've only seen 16 catches from him thus far, Mike, for 155 yards, you know, which is really small production when you think about the wide receiver core that we're seeing each week in and out of the National Football League. But, again, this is when the team needs him the most. I know the Commanders also looking to bring in some help. But I think the uniqueness of the Commanders, again, and they're looking at the Saints team, they are looking to pass, Mike, against the Saints. You know, I do think he will hopefully be able to be a good weapon.
Kelsey, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and efforts. And, you know, you say Jaden doesn't go out on the, you know, nightlife of D.C., no offense, but you were somewhere every night.
I'm in the streets with the good streets. Good events, Mike.
That's awesome. Thank you, Kelsey. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate you. Have a great one. Bye. Alrighty.
Kelsey Nicole Nelson covers the Ravens, also the Commanders, and she's got the podcast Listen In with K&N, and she was voted the D.C. Sports Media Person of the Year. So, pretty good for Kelsey. Doing well. She's a talented young lady, and she's going places in this world. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. Blake Ruffino will join us to talk some LSU football right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, we have with us Blake Ruffino from RU Sirius Network. But before we go to Blake, it is official. Ian Rappaport was the first to report it. Bill Belichick is the new head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels. Man, I want to see that one develop throughout the year. Bill didn't like the free agency stuff. And so, man, if he didn't like that, Wait till he gets involved with NIL, transfer, recruiting. But Bill Belichick is going to be the new head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels. I saw Ian Rappaport was the first to report it. And he has been calling people, trying to line up a staff. And so it seems to be that that's what's going to happen. So they replaced the 73-year-old Mac Brown with the 72-year-old Bill Belichick. But Blake's got some good news coming out of LSU. So, Blake, I'm going to let you give it to everybody. We hadn't talked about it yet, so I'll let you spring it to them.
Toot, toot, the bus is coming, Mike. The NUS bus is back, baby. So, Garrett Nussmeier just announced that he's returning for his final season. Mike, I think it's ironic in a way that Garrett redshirted in the Texas Bowl that year when Coach O had left, and now you're going to the Texas Bowl and he's announcing that he's coming back. It's funny how the sport works, man.
Man, never say never. Sean Connery said that, and he became James Bond again after all that. But I always thought, Bob and I talked about this a lot, I always thought he'd return. And I guess the sell point is Joe Burrow was a good quarterback year one. He was a great one year two. Jaden Daniels, he was a good quarterback in year one. He was great in year two. And I think Garrett sees that development. And also, too, he had the voice of his dad. Was a former college coach, now with the Eagles, who had played the position. And I think he had the strongest voice in that room for Garrett to return.
Yeah, just from some things that I'd heard over the last 48 hours or so, maybe a little bit more than that, maybe 72, a big question mark did come up before things were final on Sunday in reference to this. As soon as that UCL injury happened with Carson Beck, Mike, I feel pretty confident in saying that there were conversations behind the scenes of, I mean, Mike, who becomes now quarterback three? Now, you do and much better at this and talk about it more than I do, but I don't know where he would have gone. But, in the new age of NIL, Mike, I mean, LSU, I think, was able to be a little bit competitive, not where Garrett would have gone in the draft potentially, but, they got it done. And if you notice at the end of Garrett's video here, it's a video made by Bayou Traditions, the collective. So, I mean,
how about that? The message.
Well, Mike, I mean, listen, if people's on social media, they kind of have been seeing what we've been doing the last couple of days or the last week. Mike, I'll just tell you, the video's made by Bayou Traditions. So, as Brian Kelly, goes out there and says, hey, we need to raise some more funds, ironically, a quarterback that could have been the third, fourth guy off the board comes back. So I think that that's got a lot to play into it, Mike. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out what they were trying to do here,
Yeah, no, I get it. But I do think his dad played a big part in this decision for him to return to LSU.
Doubt.
So Blake had it, and give him full credit for that one, that Garrett Nussmeier announced on social media that he will return to LSU for the 2025 season. So we know he's going to play quarterback in the bowl game. But tell us a little bit about what's happened with P.J. Woodland, because, man, that's been a crazy deal of the cards today.
Well, Mike, I'll just tell you that it was a lot of people in his camp who had suggested that he was entering. Mike, I'll just tell you, it suggested to us, and then when it came out, I received word that it wasn't true and that he was actually on campus working out. So, Mike, in the new age of the portal, I think that, agents do things without complete approval. They tell people some stuff, and then it gets run, and then instantly it gets put out. So, from what we see at the current moment, Mike, I mean, it's kind of happened last week with the DT from Westgate. One thing's given to, people, and then from agencies, and then all of a sudden, staff was reaching out saying it's not true. So the staff, I think, made it pretty well known to the LSU media that wasn't true and that he was on campus working out. So at least for now, Mike, he's a Tiger.
Tell us the areas you think LSU is going to hit in the transfer portal. I think certainly cornerback, you have to look in that direction. man, you losing those offensive linemen, that's got to be a spot. Now tight end all of a sudden because of Pimpton putting himself in the portal. And I think this team still needs a veteran receiver. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Mike, I think that they're going to go after starting receiver. I think they will and continue to push for Barrion Brown, the receiver out of Kentucky. Mike, I think he's explosive, man. I mean, 5 kick return touchdowns in his career. That's certainly going to be an area that they go after. But a guy that you mentioned with me last time, Nick Anderson, is going to be set to visit within the next couple of days here, Mike. And I think that that's one of the ones that they have probably on top of their board in the portal right now. And they're just trying to, you know, iron some things out to get him on campus and see how that one goes. But, Mike, they also hosted 3 tight ends, or 2 yesterday, and they'll host 1 at the end of the week here. But they've gone after Luke Hawes. They've gone after Bauer Sharp out of Southeastern. And I think the Clark kid from Purdue will be in here. I don't think it's completely finalized on the trip. And then Terrence Carter from ULL. So, Mike, they're bringing in 4 guys in the first week of the portal. So tight end is another big position. And, Mike, I think they got to hit big there.
Gotta hit Luke. Man, get the Arkansas tight end. Man, that guy can play. Flat out can play. He is a really good kind of a flex tight end to a certain extent, but he knows how to set you up, get separation downfield, really good hands. Now, Arkansas is not noted for really throwing the football a ton, especially to the tight end. But if I had my choice, it would be him. Blake, I guarantee it would be him of all the other guys.
I completely agree. And, Mike, he fits your – I say your system, but at least what it showed with Sloan that you want to do, you know, he definitely complements and maybe even a little better in some areas than Mason. But, Mike, he is going to be the number one guy they go after. But a lot of people are after him, Mike. I don't – you know, we know this new age of the portal, man. It gets down to a couple of things. And if you're not willing to do, you know, do what he's wanting – I mean, Mike, I really don't know if they're going to be able to land him, and that's why Bauer Sharp came in. And, Mike, I don't know how I feel about him. I've seen him play a lot at Southeastern. But Hawes is the first guy that they brought in, Mike, from the portal on a visit. So I think he's been one of, if not their top target so far.
Blake, I'll let you go after this, but I'll make the comment. The way Brian Kelly is about tight ends – he is going to – whoever's got to cut that check, because that is something, along with offensive linemen, if you look back in his career, he's always put a big, big target on that tight end spot. Blake, thanks.
Well,
Mike, so, go ahead, Blake.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, on the Texas Bowl interview today, I mean, exactly to your point, I have never personally heard of, other than a handful of big times with big recruits on campus, that Brian Kelly has been the lead recruiter, but they don't have a position coach. Well, Brian Kelly joked about being, you know, eating 3 dinners last night and spending a lot of money at Ruth Chris and Supper Club. And so I don't know if Luke Hawes comes here, but he sure as hell ate well. You
That's
know.
Right.
So I mean, Mike, from what it seems like he was the one that was steering the ship. For the tight end room. So, I mean, you're right. I mean, I got a little taken back, to be real with you, because normally you would think a position coach or a coordinator would do that. But per him, I mean, it was him that was leading the charge on this tight end, and you're right. I mean, he really wants that big tight end that can catch the football and block on the end line.
Blake, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and efforts. And, man, you get it out quick. I mean, Garrett hadn't finished the video, and you were cranked up with it. So we appreciate your time, buddy.
Well, hey, you know, they tell you, you got to be prepared, Mike, you know?
Yeah, every once in a while, right? Thank you, Blake. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Founder and CEO of Are You Serious Sports Network. And again, Garrett Nussmeier returning to LSU for the 2025 season. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.